catch a baby, do the dog catch a
dog.
Oh yeah, you wanna know who let the dogs out? Well, the Beer Coasters did. That's right, this week we got Laughing Dog, we got Stouts, and we've got Hair of the Dog. That's right here on the Beer Coasters podcast.
It's always good when you underestimate the beer.
Less beer is not what I wanted to hear. Oh, don't drink that beer. That's for the bugs. Here, have this wine.
This is not a science class.
All right. Welcome back to the Beer Coasters podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between and other parts of the globe, I guess. Sometimes we'll see.
In between, when we feel like it.
And hopefully you can hear me this week. You can hear me loud and clear. Unlike last week. Jeez. This is Toby out in West in Las Vegas, Nevada, and joining me is...
Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
Mike is mostly all here this week.
I'm recovering from being sick, as you could probably tell by my voice, but my voice is appropriate for the show today.
Oh, yeah. It's got a little gruff.
Growl to it.
It's your smoking jazz voice.
Yeah.
It's your quiet storm voice. All right. So this week, it's all about the dogs. That's right. Our fermentation conversation is the Devil Dog from Laughing Dog Brewing Company.
Oh, that's a double dog.
Yeah. I dare you.
Double dog dare you to drink it.
Well, let's do that. Let's get right into it.
All
right.
Sounds good to me.
Let's get moving.
This is a fermentation conversation, yeah.
All right, so this is the Devil Dog from Laughing Dog Brewing Company out of Ponderay, Idaho. And this is a
new brewery.
Laughing Dog has been brewing since 2005. The Devil Dog, also known as Diabolus Canis Imperiosus IPA.
Yeah.
It's an Imperial IPA coming in at 10% ABV.
We might want to mention that's for all you Latin listeners out there.
Yes. All of our Latin listeners. LaughingDogBrewing.com is their website. Like I said, 10% ABV with 98 IBUs. Let's crack it.
Whoa.
What were we saying a couple weeks ago about moving away from the hoppy beers and getting more into the malty beers?
Yeah. When do we ever do what we say we're going to do?
Yeah. It's true. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Half finger head.
Yeah. I got about a pinky finger.
Cloudy. Orange.
Yeah, it's got a nice kind of... orange kind of hue to it.
Mm-hmm. On the nose. And them stinky hops.
Yeah. Like a dirty apple.
Yeah. Oh, do you get cinnamon or something like that? Or maybe brown sugar?
Yeah. I'm getting like like caramelized sugar, like brown sugar.
Yeah. But stinky. Whew.
It's got a lot of fruity notes in there too.
The ingredients, they use 5.6 pounds of hops per barrel. They triple dry hop it. The hops they use are Columbus Northern Brewer, Atenum, Cascade, and Simcoe. The malts are pale, caramel, and Munich.
Mm.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Wow, not as bitter as I was expecting.
Yeah. Hmm.
We were like toasty, like a toasted caramel. Oh, it finishes on the bitter side. It has a bitter and a sweet aftertaste.
Yeah, my taste buds may be a little off, but I got like the bitterness right up front when I, or like, right actually in the back of my tongue, like tightened everything up.
Yeah.
Said I'm not working with a 100% palate right now either, but getting a lot of the yeastiness too in that aroma.
Yeah.
The big beer.
Yeah, it's it's very sweet and bready. It's weird. I guess I'm taken aback a little bit because it's not as over-the-top hoppy as I was expecting. I mean, with the triple dry hopping and the... well, I guess with the dry hopping, it's more for aroma anyways.
Yeah.
But, like, all the hops that they use, the amount of hops and the number of IBUs, you'd think that this was just totally going to eat your palate away with nothing but bitterness. And it's really not because it's pretty well-balanced. I mean, there's... It's definitely an imperial.
Yeah.
You know.
There's that, you know, sweet yeastiness and hoppy bitterness. And like they try to balance it out here. I'm finding it a little bit more bitter, I think, than you are. But that, like I said, I think that's just my palate right now.
There is, the bitterness to me comes through in the very end. On like the tip and the sides of the tongue, it leaves with like a dry bitterness. Mm. Not bad. Oh yeah, when you like inhale as you're sipping, you just get that deep dark stank of just like that musty malty.
Yeah.
You know,
there is that funky, that
hoppiness,
that mustiness, like you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. Let's see, food pairing.
I was thinking like a ham with the like pineapple kind of baked, like a baked ham.
Oh, yeah.
I just think that the sweetness of the pineapple and the ham might balance this out, because this, to me, it's bitter. You know, if you're saying that it's a little sweet for a double IPA, then maybe you might want to go with something a little spicier. I don't know. That's my pick.
Yeah, I think some spicy barbecue would go good. Like something with a spicy rub might go good. Yeah, like some spicy ribs.
Yeah.
Or, something like that.
Yeah, it'd still
be nice.
Pretty big beer.
Oh, yeah. I'm not picking anything up from the alcohol just yet.
Yeah.
Usually after a couple of big sips, like you can kind of start to feel it a little bit, but not yet. Maybe this will be a creeper. We'll see.
Yeah. I'm still getting kind of that aroma of not quite ripe apples.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Is that our first beer from Idaho?
No, Chris has done an Idaho beer before. I think Snake River is out of Idaho.
I think it's my first beer from Idaho.
Yeah, I think me too. Let's see. Rate Beer gave this one a 97 out of 100 with a B+ from the Beer Advocate users.
Hmm.
That is the Devil Dog or the Diabolus Canis Imperiosus IPA. From Laughing Dog.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
Okay, for this week's Hop Topics, we are sticking with the whole doggy dog theme. This comes from craftbeer.com. And the title of the article is Man's Best Friends, the Canine's Role in Craft Beer. Now, if you check out the link that we put on our website in our Hop Topics section, you'll see there's a short video of this guy taste testing a couple of beers that are actually brewed for dogs. And they're non-alcoholic, but they like this one that he has him try. It's by Three Busy Dogs. Is that what I said? Three Busy Dogs?
Like that, yeah.
Out of Arizona, and it's like brewed with chicken broth or something. So you can watch the little video, and he's got it. His dog is taste testing a couple of different beers.
I've heard of beer can chicken, but not chicken beer.
Yeah. I'd like to actually check that out. Bring that to a party. Give that to the kids. Yeah, you want some beer? Here, drink this.
Chicken beer.
I guess give it to the dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember reading there was an article in Beer Magazine that came out, I think it was last year in 2010, where they featured actual beer for dogs, which I thought was interesting. And then the story goes on to talk. They talk about some of the breweries out there, some of the brewers who name their beers after their dogs. And you might not know, just by seeing, you know, by buying the beer and seeing the label, you might not have known that these beers were actually named after like one of the brewer's dogs. Now, this isn't a dog, but the Mongo IPA that you tried, Mike, on the show from Port.
Yeah.
That one was named after a cat.
After a cat, right.
which you wouldn't have known just by drinking. Oh, it's the Mongo. You just think it's like a, whatever, a surfer thing. Mongo, dude. Anyway.
But it's a cool little article, and it kind of tells a little bit about this guy and conversations he's had with people and, you know, trying to get his dog to taste different beers. And there's interesting, one guy says, oh, my dog's a Dalmatian, and my dog breeds in Budweiser commercials. Your dog would never represent a beer. You know, so he's gotten some, like, you know, noses turned up at him. Because it's kind of like this little mutt, you know? It's not like any particular breed. Like a little shepherd-looking mutt.
Yeah. But,
I don't know. It's a cool little article, so check it out.
Yeah.
It was appropriate for this week.
Oh, of course. What is it? The Ellie's Brown Ale from Avery.
Yeah.
It was named after Adam Avery's chocolate lab that he once owned.
Yeah.
Ellie. Real cute.
Yeah. Man's best friend.
Right.
Beer's second.
So you got to put the two together, you know? So why not brew some beer for your dog?
Right.
For your dog. All right. Yeah, go to beercoasterspodcast.com. Click on the Hop Topics link. Check it out. Leave us some, post some comments. If you have a dog that you fed beer to, let us know.
Yeah.
Let's wait. Gina says that every dog she's ever known likes beer. So, and that's real beer. That's not just beer brewed for dogs, but real beer.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
For my tasting flight this week, I'm trying Stout's Fat Dog. This is from Stout's.
See, he's so not even himself this week that he just says it's me. He doesn't even know his own name this week. That's how out of it he
is. That's true.
He says, it's just me. That's me.
I'll get back to you on the name thing. This beer
read the show sheet. You can Stout's. See it's right there.
Oh, that's right. I'm Mike from Boston. All right. So now the beer I'm drinking. I'll try this for the third time. Thank you very much, Toby.
Is that hair of the dog?
It's a Stout's Fat Dog. This beer is from Stout's Brewing Company out of Adamstown, Pennsylvania. Their website is www.stoutsbeer.com. And this style is an Imperial Oatmeal Stout.
Ooh.
The ABV on this beer is 9%, and the IBUs are 55. I'm going to crack it, and I'll talk a little bit about the ingredients here. For hops, they use Warrior, Kent Golding, Willamette, and for malts, the only thing they have listed is, it just says too many to mention.
That's what they say?
Yeah. So, obviously, there's boatloads of malts in this.
Maybe some rolled oats.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose there's some oatmeal in there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it is very brown. The light barely pierces through it and gives it kind of like a ruby highlights. Not much of a head. I didn't pour that aggressively on the nose. It's kind of perfumey, actually. Like a prune perfume.
Ooh, my favorite kind. Love it when the ladies wear that prune perfume.
Some
around the old folks' home.
Some sweeter chocolate notes and some roasty malts, but man, I can't get that like flowery perfuminess out of my nasal cavity here. Yeah, us with the canine senses this week.
Oh yeah.
There's nice. Some alcohol there on the nose too, I think. I gotta take a sip. It's kind of strange on the aroma, honestly.
Yeah, for an oatmeal stout, that sounds pretty weird.
Taking a sip
Hmm. Get the chocolate and the maltiness. A little bit of roasted roastiness in there. A little bit of alcohol.
Is it creamy at all?
No. It doesn't have the smoothness of, some of the oatmeal stouts would have.
Yeah.
It's a little bit sharper, I think. Yeah, in the middle of the tongue, it kind of gets bitter. There's some spiciness at the end, too. Kind of like a holiday.
Yeah.
Holiday type beer, but man, there's this perfuminess that's just not going away.
Now, you've done stouts before, right?
Oh, yeah. Duh. Done stouts before.
No, stouts. Stouts.
Oh, yeah.
Stouts.
Most recently, I think I did the American Pale Ale, I think. I've done a few beers from them. I'd have to check on the show sheet. Not the show sheet, but the pint ratings and see what stouts beers I've tried.
Stouts.
Now.
Well, he's finding something else. Got to take another sip.
Yeah. Sounds kind of like a chocolatey prune. But man, there's like a alcohol perfuminess that I'm not that big of a fan of right now. Like I said, my palate is definitely off today. So you have to pardon my ratings this week. But I call them as is.
Yeah, we usually pardon your ratings every week, so.
Yeah, you know. Nobody pays attention to my ratings anyway.
Like what am I? Oh, we don't care. Mike gave it. Move on.
I'd actually like to pair this up with just a chocolate chip cookie just to see if it just ruins this beer or actually complements it. Because there's some weird, right in the beginning, like I said, that I know I keep saying perfume for just lack of a better term. But there is some chocolate, some roastiness. You're getting some of that little bit of oats in there. It surprises me they say that there's so many malts because it's kind of hard to detect any malts in particular in this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of muddled and like that perfume. And I'm hoping that this perfuminess isn't an aspect of the beer being spoiled. But,
Yeah, we've talked about a bunch of times about over muddling the hops, but we've never really talked about over muddling the malts. Mm. That's interesting. Because you never really think about combination of different kinds of malts and how that would really affect the beer.
Well, it's gonna
whether
affect
stuff the... is going to.
Yeah.
But I guess it can. I mean, it's just another ingredient, and a lot of the different malts have different characteristics and flavors.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just kind of a spiciness, almost like a cinnamon roll as it warms up. It's like a chocolatey, cinnamony aroma. Rate Beer rates this 99 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rate this an A-, and the Allstrom Brothers rate it a B+.
Wow.
If you get a chance, check it out. This is... I'm not sure what year this is, but it's categorized, at least as far as Rate Beer is concerned, the 2004 variety on up. I guess there was a few different batches of this. But anyway, so yeah, this is
the 2004 recipe or something?
Well, no, this is a post-2004 recipe. I guess before that, there was a different recipe. But I'm not positive. And then I think they have... like some barrel-aged versions of this and stuff as well. But so if you get a chance, check it out. It is Fat Dog from Stouts out of Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Okay, for my beer this week, I am trying Adam. From... Hair of the Dog, which is a
new brewery.
Wow, two of them in 1 week. Awesome.
Pretty crazy.
So, yeah, this is Hair of the Dog Brewing Company out of Portland, Oregon. The beer is called Adam, It's a hearty old world ale. This is bottle conditioned. This is batch number 82. Now, if you go to their website, which is hairofthedog.com, you'll find out that they actually have batches of this same beer dating all the way back to 1994.
Oh.
Which was the year after they opened. So they're in Portland, Oregon. They've been brewing since 93. This one comes in at 10% ABV. Yeah, pretty crazy. So after finding that out, I'm like, man, I should have brought home a couple more of these bottles. Because this is, I brought this back from my Portland trip a month or so ago. It's an old ale. They call it a hearty old world ale. And the story behind it is, they call it Adam because of this old, there's some text from an old story that was like from the 1800s, where a king from Prussia came over to England or something like that. And they had this beer that they called Adam, and the king drank it and he was like unconscious for 24 hours or something. So that's like the reason why they call this Adam. So it's supposed to be in this old world tradition. Yeah. So I'm going to crack it. Ooh, nice pop. So it pours out like I'm pouring out a cola. It's got that kind of dark, whoa, I've got a Yeti fist.
Wow.
Look at that.
Certainly do.
Well, I'm using a very slender glass.
Like 3/4 of the glass right there.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. So while I let that settle down, it has... the color is a... It's not very see-through. There's some highlights, but it's a very, very dark brown. Wow. So it must be pretty cloudy. Yeah, the head is like a tan head. And it's very fluffy, very... sticking around still. I have almost the entire four fingers of head still there. I probably poured a little too aggressively, and yeah, since this is a pretty slender glass that I'm using, it's probably adding to the
That's a big head
amount of head on the nose. There's it smells sweet, like a maple syrup, a little bit of vanilla. I'm thinking pancakes when I'm smelling this.
Nice.
Or like some sort of a cookie or something like that. Like it's got a certain breadiness to it, or like a flour type thing, like, you know, baking flour. A little bit of cola. There's even a dustiness to it. This actually smells really, really good. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and... The head is settling down a little bit here, so... Ooh, yeah. Oh, that is tasty. Ooh, there's like roastiness. There's coffee. There's a little bit of molasses, a little bit of chocolate. On a blind taste test, I would think that this was more of like a coffee porter.
Yeah.
It's not as meaty as a stout. It's a little bit lighter on the body than a stout, so it's more along the lines of a porter. But man, this got some good roastiness in this. This is a good fall beer. I'm glad I had this one this week.
All right. Congratulations.
It's got a really good... There's even like this sweet bitter back and forth, like a caramelized sugar sweetness, and then there's the bitterness from the hops. And I couldn't get any ingredients on it, which I wish I could have gotten some. Mm. Let me check the bottle. Northwest Hops, Organic Pilsner Malt. See, they don't put this on the website, and so I don't even know.
Nice.
organic Pilsner Malt, variety of specialty grains, in loving memory of Adam Kercheval, who died in 2005. Brewer and friend. Oh, so that's why they named it Adam, I guess. But on their website, they talk about this whole Adam thing with this beer. Anyway, yeah, nice big roastiness. This is good. I wish I would have brought some more back. Crap. I had no idea. I mean, I didn't go to Hair of the Dog when I was there in Portland.
Yeah.
And when I saw the beer, when I went to Whole Foods, they had them in singles. And I was like, oh, check it out, Hair of the Dog. I mean, I've heard of them. I knew that they were there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, cool, we got a dog show coming up. I'll get that. I had no idea that it was going to be this tasty. But you never know. Yeah, super. It's like 50-50 with the sweetness and the bitterness. It's like right back and forth. It's almost even keel, you know what I mean? Like, there's just the right amount of bitterness, and there's just the right amount of sweetness to make it, like, totally evenly balanced. It's awesome.
Sounds like a good one.
Yeah. Let's see. Rapier gave this 100 out of 100, with 100 to style in the traditional ale category. And the Beer Advocate users gave it an A-, and the Alstrom Brothers liked it a little bit more with an A.
Nice.
So, yeah, this is the Adam from Hair of the Dog. Check it out. Miss Hard to Get To says, OMG, this dog is drinking beer. I don't think that's safe. SMDH, LOL.
Time for some backwash.
So Rick writes in. He writes back. We heard from him last week, and he said, this week he says, to follow up my previous email, I'm not trying to bash Liney's, but I also noticed that they are not a member of the Wisconsin Brewers Guild. That being said, they may have chosen not to be a part of the guild, though every other craft brewery and brew pub in the state are members. That's led me to this question. Are craft breweries owned by a multinational corporation still considered a craft brewery? This question also applies to Goose Island. I imagine the brewery has one view on this issue and the public another. Sorry if you've addressed this topic in a previous podcast. I haven't been able to get through all 3 years worth yet. It's probably going to take you a while there, buddy. Yeah. But I hope you do.
Yeah.
We bid you good travels through the years of Beer Coasters.
You'll know us better than ever. And you'll see we haven't improved by not one little bit.
And he goes on to say, personally, I don't know what to think. I don't like the fact that Goose Island is owned by AB, but still like a lot of their brews. Keep up the strong work, Rick. Thanks, Rick.
Well, it's funny that he actually says, you know, sorry if you've addressed this topic in previous podcasts, which... we have, but the difference is it's changed.
Oh, like, yeah.
More, you know, more and more of these big breweries are buying these craft brewers. And I don't know where you can draw the line to where, I mean, if they're keeping the same staff and the same brewmaster, that type of thing, they may put out craft beer, but are they a craft brewery anymore? I don't know. I guess that's kind of up for debate.
Right.
I think there's definitely some lines in the sand that have been crossed, you know, back and forth even a couple times.
Yeah. Well, when you go to the BJCP website, they will tell you specifically what a craft brewery is and how you become a craft brewery. But that's changed. I mean, it used to be that you could only brew, it was like, what, under 2 million barrels, or no, it was like, yeah, it was 2 million barrels. If you were under 2 million barrels, you were considered a craft brewer. But then as soon as Sam Adams was, you know, getting closer to that 2 million, they upped it to 6 million, which is crazy because you'd think they would just up it to like 3 or 4. But no, they boom, upped it to like 6 million barrels. So if you're under 6 million barrels, you're still considered a craft brewery. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, it's... you know, if you put in quotations, craft, as you know, we've talked time and time again about Blue Moon, are they a craft brewery? You know, they're owned by Coors. Line and Kugels is another one that he mentioned. Owned by, was it Miller Coors, yeah. I think, owns them.
Yeah.
Now Goose Island. And then you have a few different breweries that are in the Craft Brewers Alliance, like Red Hook, Kona. Goose Island used to be in the Craft Brewers Alliance. I don't know if they are anymore. But the Craft Brewers Alliance was owned like almost 50%. It was like 40, 41% is owned by AB.
Hmm.
So maybe because it's not the majority that they are still considered a craft brewery. I mean, I love Kona beers. Widmer Brothers, I think, is another one that's part of the Craft Brewers Alliance. And the whole, you can go to the Craft Brewers Alliance website and find out more of like what they actually do and stuff like that. Like I at first thought it was a whole like distribution thing, you know, like Red Hook opened a brewery or something back east. And then, so now they have, or it was like Magic Hat and Red Hook or something like that. So now you think, oh, now they can like, the distribution is wider now. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, which a lot of times it is.
Yeah.
When you have these sort of contracts or something that are written in between, you know, small breweries and distributors owned by AB or whatever, you know, so.
Right.
Like Mike said, there's that fine line, and yeah, it's probably been crossed many times, so it's tough, yeah. You know.
Tough question.
You wanna stay true, and you wanna be like a craft beer supporter, and then you find out, you know, that they're owned mostly by one of the big three or something like that, so you feel like you shouldn't support them anymore. So, I don't know. I mean, I've been kind of back and forth myself on the subject, yeah. You know, where I like Goose Island beers. I mean, I've had quite a few of their beers, and I think they brew some pretty good beer. And now that they're owned by AB, is that going to change?
We don't know.
I don't know, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and
we'll see.
If you're using quality ingredients, you should still be able to be called a craft brewer, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one perspective, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole... It's not necessarily the size of it. It's more of like the hands-on, the artisan feel to certain things, yeah. You know, that where you can tell, you know, or...
Yeah, I mean, you can go buy a loaf of Wonder Bread or you can get something fresh from the bakery. There's a big difference, right. You know. There's a big difference, and I wonder if this some of these breweries are going to compromise their quality because they're going to have larger distribution... you know, more beers right. For more people, you know.
I mean, it can go either way. It could be a hugely positive thing or it could be a negative thing. And I guess time will tell, especially with now that we've actually seen it happen since we've started the podcast. We've seen Goose Island go from, you know, small, privately owned or whatever. I don't know what you call it, but small craft brewery in Chicago to now being owned by a multi-billion dollar corporation. And I guess time will tell, like if we start to see, and he even said, Rick even said in his backwash from last week that he has seen a difference in Line and Kugels from before they were owned by Miller and after they were owned by Miller. He's seen a difference. So
I never even seen Line and Kugels packaging until I think they were owned by Miller.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
So, I mean, there are positive sides to it, which means wider distribution, but yeah. Then wider distribution means you got to crank out more beer. I mean, you're either going to expand and you're going to keep doing what you're doing, but just on a larger scale, or you're going to start trimming corners and sacrificing quality for quantity.
Dogfish Head has done that.
Is that what's going
to
happen?
In the past, they had to cut out of certain states to kind of keep their...
Yeah, exactly. You have stuff like that happening. So, yeah.
Well, thanks again, Rick, for the backwash.
It's crazy. Yeah, thanks, Rick. Almost to the 9-minute mark here. So our next piece of backwash comes from Tony over there at the CT Beer Trail and beer411.blogspot. We've been kind of, we mentioned it last week in the show that we were going to try and hook up somehow with those guys over there. to do their big pumpkin beer showdown, which is coming up this month. So we'll keep everybody in the loop as to what's going on. Still, whether
we may be a part of this in some way, shape, or form. We're trying to figure it out.
Either way, we'd like to plug the CT Beer Trail and the beer411.blogspot. Check them out. They got this big pumpkin beer showdown where they, I think they've got like 8 beers, tournament style. One, you know, 8 beers enter, 1 leaves victorious. They got a bunch of different beers. Sam Adams, Dogfish Head, a bunch of different Shipyard, Smash Pumpkin. Those type beers, they're all in the running for the number one pumpkin beer of 2011. So we'll keep everybody posted. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Really curious to see how this is going to work out. We're going to try and somehow hook up with them, either involved in the tastings, or maybe we can have a pumpkin beer show that they record for us, and we'll put it out as one of our shows. We'll see. We're still in talks with Tony over there. So
sounds good.
Stay tuned for the pumpkin beer showdown. And if you'd like to leave us some backwash, send us an email, backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com, or call the hotline, 339-225-9274, or 339-BACKWASH, without the C. Yeah, because we spells real good.
That's right.
All right, everybody, last call.
What time is it, Mike?
It's last call.
Ladies.
That's right.
Pint ratings, Mike. Give it to me.
All right.
Give it to me, baby.
For my laughing dog, devil dog. It's too bitter. Like I said, I know my palate's probably a little off, but I have to rate it how I feel about it right now. I'm gonna give it a 3. It's too bitter for me. And I could taste the alcohol, and it's just, I'm sorry, it wasn't enough. There's some good fruity yeasty notes in there that I like, and there's some good caramelized sugars in there, but for that I should bump it up another half a point because of that. So, all right, I'm going to give that a 3.5. Yeah, we'll do that. Because of those caramelized...
Final?
Because of the caramelized sugars and some of that fruity yeastiness in there. I'm going to bump it up a little bit.
Because, Mike, once you throw it to me, that's it. Set it's in stone.
Cast in stone.
Forever.
Right.
3.5?
Yeah.
All right. I like it.
For the stouts, Fat Dog, there's a perfuminess that I could just not let go of this. I couldn't really get past it. I'm giving it a 3. And like I said, I really think it has to do with my palate this week, because both of these beers, I think, were pretty highly rated, but
that don't mean nothing. That don't mean nothing, dude. Yeah. Don't let that sway.
This didn't suit my palate this time around. The perfuminess was just not sitting well on my tongue or the nose. Mm. Yeah.
Well, for my pint ratings, the Laughing Dog, I think this is a great example of an Imperial IPA. I think it everything is right there. It's to me, I didn't pick up so much of the bitterness. I thought it was pretty well balanced. Lots of toasted, rich, caramelized sugars, bitterness, all that stuff that you would expect in a big beer. And it is a big beer, so this is quite the sipper. It's everything that you would expect out of an Imperial IPA. I wouldn't say that it completely knocked my socks off, but I'm going to go 4 pints. I think it's definitely worth somebody checking out. If you see Laughing Dog, Devil Dog, I say, yeah, man, if you like Imperial IPAs, check it out. It's good. It's a good one. The Adam. Mm-hmm. Whoo, man. 5 pints.
Nice.
This is one of those beers that comes along where it's just, I mean, it's got everything. It's intense, it's big, it's super flavorful, it's got everything, it's got the entire spectrum, the entire rainbow, if you will, of palate tantalizing things, you know? I mean, it's got sweetness. It's got the bitterness. It's got roastiness. It's got smokiness. I didn't mention that before, but the smokiness was coming out, and even as it warmed up, I mean, the rich chocolate and the piney bitterness too, like completely well balanced. I mean, it's an extremely well balanced beer, and I'm very curious to see how this would last up. And I know how this would last, and I know this will hold up really well. If you were to cellar this, I know for sure in like 3 years that you're still going to get a fantastic beer. And God, I'm kicking myself right now for not picking up an entire six pack of this, because I don't know how much I paid for a single, but whatever I paid, it was well worth it. Yeah, I hope I come across it again. I strongly urge anybody, if you find Hair of the Dog, Adam, check it out. It's an amazing, completely, and it's a big beer too, so, you know, watch out for that. I mean, high alcohol, very big palate consumer. Yeah, 5 pints. Good job, Hair of the Dog. Like it. I'm talking way too much this week, Mike, but I think you're probably a little relieved that you don't. I'm talking for you this week.
Yeah, you probably are a little bit, but it's okay. I don't mind.
Okay.
I'll be 100% next week, I promise.
Right. So check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Untappd, and Google+. Subscribe to us in iTunes and also Callisto.fm. And I made this in, I put this down in the notes because I didn't want to forget Untappd. Okay. This is an awesome craft beer lovers social medium here. Untappd. Okay, here's my gripe. Whoever is putting in a lot of these beers, who are actually logging in these beers and Untappd, they're not putting in the ABV. Sometimes they're not even putting in the beer style. Come on, people. I understand if you're at a bar and you're having it on tap, so you don't know exactly what the ABV is. But hey, if you're sitting there, if you're logging in the beer, you must have a smartphone in your hand. Take the extra second to hit up Beer Advocate or to hit up the website. Find out what the ABV is. Come on, this is probably just me being anal, but this is my gripe.
Yeah, but I think
the
more that the beers are logged in accurately, you know, the better database Untappd's going to have, and the better user experience is to be had.
I don't want to log into Untappd and log in my beer that says 0% ABV when I look at the bottle that's in my hand and it says 10%. And I'm like, come on. I mean, I know that, okay, it's in my hand. I know what the ABV is. But come on, people. If you're going to log a beer in, take the extra couple seconds to put the ABV.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Agreed.
I don't think Untappd should allow you to log a beer in without putting in the ABV.
That's the like kind of stuff maybe they should start having in their database.
Yeah.
And maybe start pulling up for people. Because maybe not everybody does know. But then Untappd might have it in their database and be able to pull it up. Anyway,
yeah,
it's kind of in the future.
That's my gripe. So people, come on. When you're adding beers to Untappd, take the extra second, find the ABV, find the style of beer. I mean, don't just add a beer with no style and no ABV. Come on. I'm anal here. Let's help me out.
And don't forget.
All right, Mike, it's all you.
Toby just stepped down from his soapbox. Check out our Wiggity website. It's beercoasterspodcast.com. We got a shop link. You can get your beer coaster swags, your shirts and steins and stickers and things. And also check out our brews paper, which is Beer Coaster Toby's got Beer Coasters Daily newspaper. You can check out. There's some interesting stuff on that. But yeah, check us out.
Yeah, and don't forget to tell your friends and tell your friends' friends about the show. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate all of our listeners, young and old, far and near.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Gemini Lounge, a chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. a gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada. With happy hours from 3 to 6 p.m. every day. With an additional happy hour from Monday through Friday from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. That's 50% off all appetizers and selective craft beers. Aces and Ales, wide variety of craft beer on draft and bottles. Make sure you stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com to print out your free pint coupon. That's Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, Eastside, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler.
That's right, folks. Have a beer on us. That's what this show is kind of all about. Support your local brewery, brew pubs, beer bars, etc. Drink local, because local is fresh.
And of course, we do not want you to drink and drive, because that's just dumb.
That's right.
Drink from the comfort of your own home in front of a microphone and your computer screen.
Yeah.
With your buddies on Google Hangout.
That's right.
Safest way to drink.
That's right. You're never drinking alone.
You never drink alone, that's right.
A reminder to all our listeners out there, this is your show. We're just drinking in it. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, yeah. Oh, shout out.
I want to give a shout out to all the dogs out there. Made this show possible. We want to thank, obviously, the backwash from Tony and Rick. Keep it coming. We really appreciate it.
Sweet.
I think that's it.
Cheers.
Time. Cheers again.
See you next. What are we doing next week?
Oh, damn. I don't know. I don't have the show sheet in front of me.
Let me see. We're doing horse races next week?
Yeah.
Or you mean Zorro?
That was my hurry up.
Oh, Milk Stouts. Check us out next week for the Milk Stout Show. Mike will be in full force.
That's right. 100%.
He'll be fully recovered, representing the East Coast.
Back in action.
Drinking his Milk Stouts.
All right.
Cheers. See you next week. Cheers. Drink from the comfort of your own home in front of a microphone and your computer screen. I'm supposed to count it off. What you doing, fool?
Oh, sorry. Well,
what are you waiting for?
This is my tasting flight.
You never drink alone, that's right.